So hello everyone, I can start without the slides. First, so welcome everyone. As you can see, this presentation is not about glare and not about EY glare, even though I should have had a presentation about EY glare because there is a new version that I should release, and but I will do this on Radiance Online rather soon. So I will not talk about anything about glare, but about forgotten function in Paris. What does it mean, forgotten? I want to go back a bit historically what happened. So back in 2019, I received an email from Zach Rogers, which many of you know, asking me basically, what about the dew-point temperature that is part of the Paris model? I received this email, and then basically, only here. My reaction was basically like this. And why? Why was this like that? If you see the fact, so I looked it up, and so the luminance value depends on atmospheric humidity, but so far no one has considered it. And please raise your hands. Who of you used daylight simulations in the last year using the Paris model? And who of you used dew point as an input? Yeah, so basically, all implementation of the Paris model ignored that influence so far. And we had 30 years of daylight simulations, maybe except one, ignoring that effect. And that's why I was also a bit shocked. So the next step was, okay, I looked into the paper. It was actually a publication from Paris. So what you have to know is in Paris, you have actually two Paris models implemented. One is the sky luminance distribution, and the second one is about the luminance efficacy. And in the luminance efficacy model, basically, it's here. Basically, there is one term in there which estimates the atmospheric precipitable water content. Sorry, this word is really complicated for me. By using the dew point temperature, and this is part of the model and influences basically the luminance efficacy. So then I looked into the source code, and then that was implemented from a former colleague of mine at Fraunhofer ISE in 1994, really, and since that time it's like this. Basically, it turned out that there was actually the formula was correctly implemented, but it was simply set to a fixed value of around 11 degrees. What happened quite quickly then after, well, quite quickly, it was in 2021, after a reminder, I implemented that. So from that point on, we could check that. But basically, the core question is, and that's why I'm here giving this presentation, is what is the impact of this? How much difference do we have using this fixed dew point compared to a variable one from the real one? And does this matter also when we have measured data? In general, what is the dew point temperature? Originally, I wanted to show you a thermodynamic figure, but I left it out now. So basically, it's a measure of the absolute water content of the air, because it shows you what is the temperature for a given water content until the content it condenses. So basically, it tells you how much water is in the air. And what happens in the atmosphere basically is the higher the content, the more is scattered up there, which basically leads that let's say the diffuse sky luminance is increasing and the direct part is decreasing. So, yeah, I mentioned that quite quickly before. So I investigated a little bit which climate and under which condition this effect is significant or where it matters. And can we see this if we look into measured data? Or this was the trial. I will tell you some limitations that I had. So the first thing that I did is I looked at the typical climate classification, and I looked up for each of these defined zones weather stations. And for this, I used the Meteonorm software, which has a huge amount of collected data, and I selected locations that were measuring all needed points, so the data is not really interpolated, because you can select in that software any location of on the world, and then if there is on this weather station no temperature, then it interpolates around, or if there is no radiation, then it interpolates. But I selected explicitly stations where all the needed inputs were really measured and not interpolated. So you see this list here. It's fairly distributed. For some of the zones, I selected two, just to be on the safe side, because some of them are really much more dry than others, but they are in the same classification. So the next thing is I looked at the weather data there in these files and looked at the dew point temperature, because this is the 11 degree, which is just the static one. And then, of course, if we see an effect, then it's more likely we see it from the climates that are further away from that line than the ones that are very close. So what we can see here, the largest differences we have for the most extreme climates. So one of them is like in Singapore, so the tropical climate. And then the subarctic one, which is here, so it's really close to the Arctic Circle. Where we have really very dry, but yeah. So basically, here we are much drier, and here we are much more wet in terms of the water content in the air. The evaluation I did is first of all rather simple. So I didn't run simulations inside the space. It was basically just outdoor sensor. The very simple one is the horizontal illuminance, and then I looked at the vertical on the four main directions, so north, east, south, and I separated between direct and diffuse values, and I measured also the sky luminance at zenith and 25 degree for the simulation part, but not for the measured one later on. And then basically I did some for the simulation now for the weather data. I look for the correlation between using the dew point or the fixed dew point of its variable dew point. And I look for the normalized bias error, mean bias error, and the normalized root mean squared error. Important is that I left out the zero data, because if you have the weather files, you have always the night in there, and this is not really useful. It simply lowers the bias if you include that, so that's especially if you normalize it, and this. So, why is this here first? I wanted to start with this one up. So what you see here is the comparison. On the x-axis is always the variable. So let's say we believe that this model now with a variable is the ground truth, and on the y-axis is with a fixed dew point temperature. What you can see here for the horizontal illuminance, basically even for the extreme climate in Singapore, it's really not, there is no real difference. So we have normalized bias of 0.9%, so it's quite. So then if you look at the vertical illuminance, so this is towards the south, it increases slightly. The bias, but it's still quite low. Again, these are the global values, so including direct and diffuse. Is it going forward?
So the same we have for the north and for the south. We have a slightly visible bias to the lower range. And why do we have that? This comes. We can see then if we split up the direct and diffuse, because if we look the Singaporean climate, the sun position, if you look south vertical, the sun position is always very high. So the impact of the direct sun is much lower than for the other orientations, because there the sun is in a lower angle. That means there's an indication that the influence of the diffuse sky is higher. And this can be actually seen in this data when we just look at the diffuse value. So we have again here the diffuse horizontal. Here we can see we are underestimating for around 6% the data for the horizontal value. And then for the vertical one, since we use the diffuse, it's all in a similar range. Sorry, on the right side, I messed up. So here I don't look for the other orientation. So this one is for the direct. What happens here? That we are overestimating sun luminance or the luminance of the sun, and this happens for both horizontal and vertical. So basically, it's like we expected also slightly that if you consider the more scattering in the atmosphere, that you're underestimating the sky luminance and overestimating the direct one. So basically, for an extreme climate, we can see that it's around 5 to 7%. So now we go for the dry climate. Again, we have the same picture. If you look for the global values, it's really a perfect line. And then here, if we switch, I don't know why it's like this. I simply put all of them now. Sorry for this. The animation should be. Here we can see that it goes in the opposite direction, which we also expected. So we are basically overestimating slightly of the diffuse part, and we are underestimating the direct part, simply because the atmosphere is drier. But what we can see is that the effect here, due to it's closer to the dew point and due to the model that is there, the effect is smaller than on the very humid climate. So what if we look now for world climates and we look for monthly effects, because this was only globally, and then you can compensate between summer and winter when it's dry and wet. For these two climates, not so much, but for the others, you could do. And here you can see that the monthly mean normalized bias for the diffuse horizontal illuminance. And again, you can see the extreme one is Singapore on this side, and the KO climate on. But you see the ranges. So basically, for the very wet climates, it's more than for the dry climates. The other question is, of course, how much does it matter really when we do the annual simulations later on? But on the other hand, for me, it's also very, very good news that we don't have a 25% deviation or something like this. In that sense, it's quite good. I have the same thing for the direct one, which you can see is length basically flipped. Because here we are, Singapore is now on the top. So the conclusion from this part regarding this are pure weather data and using the models one with and without, that the deviations are generally small for non-extreme climates. So for tropical climates, we have like 4 to 8%. The maximum is like 15% for a single time step. But the direct light is overestimated and the diffuse light is underestimated. And for the dry climates, it's around 5%.
So what about this validation part that I mentioned? Originally, I wanted to include two weather data sets. I had actually also from Fraunhofer, from my former colleague, data set from 2002, but then I encountered some issues and it was a bit, there were some biases that I could not find out where it's coming from. That's why I left it out. So basically, I've used the weather station that is in Lyon from ENTP. This was part of the International Daylight Measuring Program from the early 90s. And it's really sad to see that this is the only one that is still there, up and running. But the nice thing is you can really access the data. I have the website. And they have all data online since 20 years in minute data. So it's quite nice for such a study. So acknowledgements to Dominique, who helped me also answering some questions on the weather station. The measurements that are used is the input data from Candeli, so the direct normal global horizontal irradiance. Then they measure dry bulb temperature and relative humidity, and then this can be converted to the dew-point temperature. And then they measured illuminances, the horizontal and diffuse horizontal, but using a shadow band. I have to consider this because this is not a super accurate measurement compared to if it's on a tracker blocking the sun. And the fur vertical illuminance without the ground reflectance with a special construction. So here, this is basically also, let's say, a validation of the Paris model on this, let's say, simple measurements. So what you see always on the horizontal axis is the measured data as luminance, and on the y-axis it's the single. One thing I wanted to say is this is in Lyon, and if you think back on the, I quickly go back to this first beginning. There's a weather station which is not so far away, which is Strasbourg. And if you look here, it basically goes closely around this 11 degrees, the point temperature. So we cannot expect really a huge effect in this weather data, unfortunately. It would be better to have data from Singapore. So this is a huge limitation of this study. So let's hope that the forward, can I go forward in one shot? Oh, not really. Yeah, it works. I just wanted to flip immediately to skip this. Okay, so we are here. So basically what you can see here is not a huge effect. So this is again on the horizontal illuminance. So I don't know if this is statistically significant, but here is a variable we want to get that's really minimalistic, slight lower bias. If we flip to the diffuse horizontal illuminance, we have a similar effect. So it's basically minimal effect here, but we can expect that. But at least it goes in the right direction. If we compare, and I have no figure, just the vertical illuminance data,
The good thing is that we have a really high R square value, which means that the model itself, at least for these measures, are quite working well. The differences between those two is really minimal. So I would not say this is significant. So we basically need other data. Yeah. So conclusion from that is the Paris model works reasonably well. And due to the climate, the impact of the variable viewpoint is very small, and we cannot draw conclusions. So the overall conclusion is, so I would say I'm relieved after that, after my first reaction. So, but for extreme climates, the deviations are still in a range where it can matter. So I would basically encourage to use this in the climate-based simulations for studies later on, because the additional effort is rather small, because in EPW files, you have a column with the dew point temperature, and you simply feed that into GenDailit. And so it's not really much effort, and then you at least reduce the noise in case you do in simulation in these extremer climates. But I would say it's not an immediate need that we say, wow, we are 25% off everywhere, so if we need to act immediately, so it's not the case. And yeah, the other effects I mentioned before, that it's as we expected, and for the humid climate, you have diffuse light, it's underestimated, and direct light is overestimated, and it's the opposite for the dried cold climate. And it would be useful to have a validation on that. Okay, that's it.